This is Srinivas Rao, the host of the Vistid podcast series. Today I'm speaking with Anthony Anarino. Anthony is the President and Chief Sales Officer for Solutions Staffing, a best-in-class regional staffing service based in Columbus, Ohio. He is also the Managing Director of the B2B Sales Coaching Consultancy, and he blogs regularly at thesalesblog.com. Anthony, thanks so much for taking the time to join us this morning and share some of your insights with our Vistage listeners.
Hey, thanks for having me here, Srinivas. I appreciate the opportunity.
My pleasure. So I'm going to ask you the very first question that I have for you, and that is, why do you insist salespeople and sales organizations focus on their dream clients?
Yeah, I coined this term. Other people have used it before, but I use it, and I'm trying to popularize this idea of your dream client, because so many salespeople and sales organizations are distracted by business that isn't good for them. And what I mean by that is it's business where they really can't make a contribution and help that customer achieve their business results. But when you're hungry, everything looks like a great meal. So salespeople and sales organizations are starved for opportunity. They're out searching for something, and they're willing to call on and talk to just about anybody. And a dream client is something very different than that. Your dream client, in the words that I use, is the client that you can do earth-shattering, jaw-dropping work for. So this is somebody that you're going to create so much value for that you're going to be able to create a long-term relationship that allows you to do great work for your dream client, and by capturing some of that value, earn money and profit for your own company. And I insist on this because people get distracted and they call downstream in places where there's no value to be created, where they end up having to have discussions based on price instead of on value creation, on clients who really won't benefit enough for the purchase to make a difference. And by doing that, we waste too much time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you bring up a really interesting point, and it's something that I've heard echoed by multiple entrepreneurs. Often some of these, what you wouldn't call dream clients, just end up being almost like energy vampires. They not only eat up your time, but kind of like you said, they're not going to be profitable for you. They're short-term fixes, I feel like, to a long-term problem.
Yeah, the opposite. Energy vampires is great. I call them nightmare clients. And these are the clients that they spend a lot of money in your space. And so you're so excited by the opportunity. And then you find these are very different than your dream clients. And where we get confused as salespeople and in sales organizations is that just because a prospect spends a lot of money in your space, it doesn't mean that they're a great client for you. And you can be very anxious to go after these clients because the spend is so high, but you later find out that they don't really appreciate the value you create, that everything comes down to cost. You find out that they're adversarial and that any gain to their company has to come at your loss. And you find out that they're immature as business people. And so the approach ends up sucking your energy just like a vampire. I think that's a great description of an energy vampire. But these nightmare clients, they look really good because the numbers are so big, but ultimately they drain your time, they drain your resources, and you can't succeed by pursuing them. You've got to shift to dream clients, people who are really going to appreciate what you do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you brought up the idea of value creation, so I think it makes a perfect transition to my next question, which is, what does it mean to create value for your clients, and what do you do to be a value creator?
So this is something that I've written a lot about, and I've worked with other organizations on. I've spent a lot of time thinking about it. And I think that we're at this point in history where value creation started at what I call level one, and that is, can you give me a good product? And everybody can make a pretty good product now. There's arguments about whether Apple's a better phone than a Samsung Galaxy S3, and I don't know. They're both good products. But that's what I call level one value creation. That's sort of the getting in point, especially for us in B2B sales. Moving up to a higher level of value, level two, you get to great service, great experience, great support. And I think of companies like Disney and Starbucks, and there are a lot of B2B companies that exercise a customer intimacy strategy who are just very high touch, and they can give you a terrific experience that can make the difference for your business and your relationship. One notch up from there, I call level three value creation, and this is business results. And at B2B sales, this is the minimum level you have to get to. You've got to be able to create value at a level where they can say, you're helping us produce measurable results in our business. But ultimately, I think all of us in B2B sales are now called to get to level four value. And level four is, can you be my strategic partner? This is, can you help me plan and manage my business? Can you help me see around corners? Can you help me decide where I'm supposed to go? And can you keep me aware of what's going on out there and trends that are going to impact me so that I can be more competitive in my space? And then you become a strategic partner, and your relationship is so deep that your value creation takes you to a different level. And it's a very difficult level for us to get to in sales. But I think that that's the level of value creation our clients expect and need from us today. And salespeople and sales organizations that can get there are going to win the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. From a tactical perspective, are there things that salespeople can do within each of those levels tactically to achieve those levels of value?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just stick with level four. So here's the big rub for salespeople and sales organizations generally. So I think Vistage listeners are going to probably hear and feel themselves in this response. We're terrific at being reactive. If you call and you tell me there's a problem, I will be right there and I will help you fix that problem. I have the resources to fix it. I have the people to fix it. I have the initiative and I can make sure that I get you a better result. But that's not what level four value creation really is. Level four value creation is I'm thinking about the problems that you don't even yet recognize you have. I'm thinking about how can I be proactive and bring you the next idea. And what I hear from customers and clients all the time is we don't know what we don't know. You're supposed to be the subject matter expert in your area. You should tell me what I should be worried about. You should tell me when I look out at the horizon what I should be looking for and where I'm supposed to be steering this. And you're supposed to be helping me find the dragons along the way so I don't get us in trouble, because I can't see everything you see. And I think when you think about this from your perspective of a sales organization, you do have a lot of clients. They're in a lot of the same verticals. They have a lot of the same challenges. And what you're seeing that can benefit one can benefit others, but not if they don't know it. So the biggest change, I think, that I would recommend on a short interview like this is be proactive. And that means go and find the ideas that can help your customer take their business to the next level and get in front of them with those ideas, whether it's at a quarterly business review or lunch, but be in front of it and sharing how you intend to create value in the future. That's really going to differentiate you and pull you out of the box.
Well, I really, really great points. And to me, it almost sounds as if you want to think of yourself not just as a person who sells to that organization, but as almost as an employee of that organization, which really
I call it being a member of their management team.
Exactly. I think that's a perfect way to sum it up.
That's the perfect approach for salespeople to take today.
Mm-hmm. So you write about a coming flight to value. Are you suggesting that price is no longer the driving factor in most businesses' purchasing decisions?
This is where people just went, what did he say? There's this flight to value right now. And a lot of sales organizations and salespeople are experiencing this. And we've got to work on developing how we help our customers make the investments that they need. So here's what's happened. Over the last couple decades, we've had globalization, commoditization. It's been very difficult to differentiate ourselves and our sales organizations. And we've had what I call the Walmart effect. There's been this chasing the bottom because everybody's trying to get the lowest possible price. But lowest price is only one of three business models. There's also the business model that Apple runs, which is innovation. And then there's customer intimacy, which means I know your business well enough that I can help you get your real results. What we've done in sales has allowed our customers to underinvest in the results that they really need. So anybody that's on this call listening to this as either a salesperson or somebody who's running a business will recognize this when I explain it, because what's happened is price moved up very high in the decision-making of the buying organization and the buyers. But now they've driven the price so low, we've chased the bottom for so long, we finally found the bottom. And no one's getting the results that they really want at the lowest price, because the investment required to get the client the result they really want is greater than what we've allowed them to make. So what I'm hearing from sales organizations, salespeople, and especially customers here, is customers are saying, we're willing to invest more in getting that result, but you have to help us. You have to show us the investments that you're going to make to get us those results. You have to show us how putting more money in the front end of this allows us to get a better result on the back end of this. And this is what salespeople haven't been great at doing. We've never really been great at ROI. Some organizations are better than others, but they're willing to pay more. They need to invest more, but it's difficult to do that when we say we're all the same, we're going to all get you the same result, and I'm going to do it for two pennies cheaper than the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
right now, this flight to value is happening. It's real. Your customers, your prospects are willing to pay more, but they're not going to do that unless you can show them the value you create and you can help them quantify that and sell it within their own organization.
Yeah, I think that what's interesting about the time we live in is, one, is the ability to create value is greater than ever because we have tools and technology at our disposal in a way that we've never had before. And I think about something that you said in terms of price and value, and it's something that I see over and over with entrepreneurs where I feel like when people invest more money in something, they tend to take it much more seriously. And as a result, they end up getting more value out of it surely because they actually didn't choose the lowest priced option. And I found that to be true, not just as an entrepreneur, but even in my personal life with anything that I've invested in.
Absolutely. There's a commitment and a consistency to behave in agreement with the decisions that we've made. So once we make the decision to invest more, we tend to be all in. And for sales organizations that sell complex solutions, you've recognized when someone's not all in and you've got the right solution, but there's resistance on the part of the stakeholders to really adopt the changes that need to be made. It turns out when you require them to spend more money, they tend to be more committed to making those changes occur within the organization to help you help them get those results. That's something very common. I see the same thing you see.
Absolutely. Well, Anthony, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today and share some of your insights with our listeners. Can you tell us a little bit about where we can learn more about you online?
The best place to find me online is www.thesalesblog.com. I post there every day, and there's a whole bunch of links across the top for you social media people. You can connect with me in any way that makes sense for you, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or Google+.
Well, Anthony, thanks again for taking the time to join us. This has been Srinivas Rao, the host of the Vistage podcast series. And until next time, good luck with your business.